So the theme of our theologian in residence next week, the question it poses is, will our faith have children? I think we've seen the answer here week in and week out. We have a lot of very young pastors and preachers right here in our church. People have a lot to teach us about faith. Well, let's talk about today's story, this temple story. Part of me really loves this story. It's the part of me that grew up watching Jesus Christ Superstar and its version of the temple story where there were guns and women and sunglasses for sale, you know, okay. And the part of me that loves this story is the part of me that loves the liberation that's inherent in our religious tradition, this tradition of freed slaves, female prophets, and always criticizing and directly confronting anyone who is complicit in or who's actively practicing systems of domination. It's a story that I love, and it's the kind of story that allows me to continue to seek God through Jesus Christ. I could only walk a path that includes tearing down these false human-made barriers to God. And I need a path that pulls off my blinders to corruption and my own self-centeredness. I need both. But I don't know if I can even hear this story today. I don't know if I can hear this story today over the loud, boisterous, and violent fighting in our own public square. I don't even know if I can hear this because all the other fighting is so loud. I thought about generating a list of examples of the kind of back and forth juvenilia nastiness between our elected officials on Twitter, or examples of commentary from the controversy about the alleged vulgarity in the White House, in our house. But I couldn't even bring myself to look them up. I couldn't even bring myself to read them, and I couldn't see that there was any profit in inflicting them on you afresh, because you already know. Even if you are wise enough to never go on to social media, even if you are wise enough to stay off social media and only read one newspaper or only watch one news program a day, you already know. We are not in an era of debate and disagreement. We are in an era of lies, slander, grandstanding, dismissal, mockery, spleen. The fighting that we have now, it is not good trouble. As Representative John Lewis refers to the legacy work of the civil rights movement, that agitational yet respectful work of nonviolent protest and relational community organizing. This is empty sound and injurious fury, and it is exhausting. So a story about one more man going into a place of power to knock things over and yell, it's hard to hear God in that right now. Or maybe more accurately, it's hard to see how following that example, how following suit, will do anything to solve our problems. We don't need any more fighting. What we need is a little bit of rest. Last summer, Pastor Mary Jane Button Harrison from our sister church down the street recommended a book to me by Margaret Wheatley. Margaret Wheatley is an organizational and management consultant who studies how corporations and bodies of humans together work. She's had prominent faculty positions in the U.S. She's worked with the U.S. military. She has advised on our national park system. She's also a spiritual leader with roots in Christianity and an active Buddhist practice. In this book, which she entitled, Who Do We Choose to Be?, she argues that we need to find a way to be sane leaders in a rapidly crumbling reality. How to be sane leaders in a rapidly crumbling reality. There is no question that our physical environment is changing, and not for the good. This planet can literally not support the weight of human existence right now. particularly with the way we Westerners, we North Americans, we Americans, the way that we live. And you know that nations of human are acting like we don't actually share biology, that our national borders are some kind of natural barrier to any kind of relationship or engagement. What Wheatley says is, it is too late to solve those global problems. She puts it right out there. It is too late to solve those global problems. She asks that we not tell ourselves a fable of, it'll all work out. It's always worked out before. It'll all work out. She asks instead that we learn how to be local leaders who do what we can with what we have wherever we are. And I want to focus on that middle part, what we have. Specifically, what we have as people of faith, and that's God. If you're subscribed to the church's little list for getting devotionals by texts or by emails, you received a portion of Psalm 46 yesterday, but I'd like to read the whole psalm. And if you're new to Christianity or to the Bible, the Psalms are probably the oldest parts of our written scripture, and they were likely part of worship, like songs or prayer. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth should change, though the mountains shake in the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble with its tumult. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of the city. It shall not be moved. God will help it when the morning dawns. The nations are in an uproar. The kingdoms totter. God utters God's voice, and the earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Come, behold the works of the Lord. See what desolations God has brought on the earth. God makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. God breaks the bow and shatters the spear. God burns the shields with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I am exalted among the nations. I am exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. The God of Jacob. Jacob, who was so jealous of his twin brother's inheritance that he tricked his feeble old dad into giving the inheritance to him. The God of Jacob. Jacob, who had to get out of town to flee from his brother's righteous anger. The God of Jacob. Jacob, who himself learned exactly how betrayal felt as part of a complicated marriage negotiation. The God of Jacob. Jacob, who while he slept had a dream of a connection between the sacred and the profane that went back and forth, back and forth. The God of Jacob. Jacob, who was so physically transformed by wrestling with an emissary of the divine that he received a new name, Israel, for you have wrestled with God and people, and you have prevailed. The psalmists, 4,000 years ago, are teaching us to take refuge in the God of Jacob, a man who was both deceitful and faithful, a man who resisted and yet was reformed. While the humans in their tiny kingdoms on this earth betray us, steal from us, our refuge, our sanctuary, is in the holiness that knows us at our very worst and yet has the power to move us toward our very, very best. So what we have in this time of fighting and foundering is God. God is the basis for doing what we can where we are. Before we run back out, though, before we jump back in as we do as a church, into the fight and into the fray, we need to take time to rest in God. Whatever our schedules, rest in God. Whatever the demands on your life, rest in God. Whatever your schedule, rest in God. Whatever your church, I'm looking at you, Rachel Shelley, incoming moderator. Whatever your church asks of you, rest in God. If you're fortunate enough to have an hour to pray every day, do. If you don't have an hour to pray, take 30 minutes. If you don't have 30 minutes, and I know a lot of you don't, take 3 minutes. Take 3 minutes away from screens and screams to breathe in that sacred breath of God and then share it back out with creation. In those 3 minutes, feel the presence of the one who shares love through a reformed liar like Jacob and through a manger like that of Jesus. Here in this place, Ames, Iowa, Story County, while our water is still clean enough to drink and while most of us still have enough food, we still have a lot of good trouble to get into. And as a church, I know we will. We will still overturn tables, tables that claim to be inviolable, tables that claim to be perfect. And authorities will be so surprised by the power that we claim. And maybe if we do so not just because of how much we love what Jesus has taught us to do, maybe if we do it out of love for the God of Jacob, to whom Jesus always pointed toward, maybe then we will not only be witness to, but part of a new kind of resurrection. Amen.